108th episode of the Hondo Handies podcast is brought to you by Ed Hyman Drywall and Custom Painting, including residential and commercial power washing. Located at 36722 Roxana Road in Somerville, Delaware, call 302-436-6277 or find them on the web at edhymandrywall.com. My guest today is Rachel Colas. How you doing today, Rachel?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
It's always fantastic to have another recreation professional on, and I'm certainly glad to have you on.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Rachel, let me tell my listeners a little bit about you before we get started.
Sure.
Rachel is the director of day services at Richcroft, Inc. She began her position in January of 2022. In this position, she provides day support that are recreation in nature to adults with disabilities. She received her BS and master's from Frostburg State University. She's an experienced certified recreation therapist with a demonstrated history of working with therapeutic recreation industry as a frontline staff and manager. She's skilled in nonprofit organizations, social services, group therapy, and event planning. Rachel, you have an impressive career so far, and you're just getting started. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you.
Rachel, tell my listeners a little bit about your upbringing and maybe where you grew up and if you played any backyard sports before high school.
Sure. So growing up when I was younger, we tended to move a lot. My father worked for a power tools company where he was relocated a few times. So I spent a lot of my time in childhood on the Eastern Shore. We lived in Easton and in Cordova. And then we also lived up here on this side of the bridge in Hunt Valley and then in Jacksonville, Maryland. But throughout my childhood, just in general, we were not kids that stayed indoors. We were outside playing with the neighbors, just doing active things outside all day, every day until the sun went down.
The way we want kids to play now.
Yes.
I know you, do you have any, you know, sports memories that you would like to share?
Well, growing up, we went to a lot of the baseball games. One of the things that our family did just in general, we would go to see the Baltimore Orioles every now and then. And we like to watch it on TV as well. And so I do remember when I was younger, when Cal Ripken did his 2030 consecutive games and that whole celebration and everything. I mean, that was just a very, like, vivid memory.
Oh, that was special. What high school did you attend?
I went to Towson Catholic. So it was a small Catholic school located right in the heart of Towson.
Okay. So after high school, you decided to attend, was it Stevenson University then?
Yes. So it was actually Villa Julie at the time, and now it's Stevenson University. But yes, I knew that I wanted to go into a field that helped people and was more in the health related field. So I was a pre-nursing major at Stevenson University. And about a year, I want to say it was either, I think it was about a year into going there. My father had come home and he was telling me about a man that he worked with whose daughter went into the therapeutic recreation field. And I had never heard of the major, never knew anything about it. And he was explaining it to me and he's like, Rach, you could even play games for a living. And I'm like, you don't know what you're talking about. There's no such thing. And, you know, I totally was like, no way, like never heard of it. And he actually kind of looked into it a little bit more, and Frostburg State University was the in-state school at the time that offered therapeutic recreation. So we set up a visit to go up there and kind of see it and that kind of thing. And I mean, the second we went up there, I absolutely fell in love with it. Frostburg is located out in Western Maryland. It's a beautiful, beautiful campus. It's kind of isolated, I guess, in itself. But right. The class sizes there also are very person-centered. So, you know, student to teacher ratio, it was probably like a 1-to-20. So much smaller class sizes. Which was really nice. And I mean, the whole experience of being at Frostburg was just amazing. All of the stuff that I worked on for my pre-nursing at Villa Julie transferred over. So I didn't have to spend any extra time in college, which was nice. but yeah.
Well, let me ask you about this when you were at Villa Julia. Was that your first choice of colleges, or were you considering other colleges?
I applied to a couple different colleges. I remember applying to Salisbury State University, and I remember we went down to Salisbury to even visit the campus and that kind of thing. But yeah, Villa Julia, I think, was kind of my top choice in this area at the time.
So when you transferred to Frostburg, you did, what did you major in therapeutic recreation right away?
I did, yes. Their major is parks and recreation with a concentration in therapeutic rec. Okay. And then I also had a minor in psychology.
Tell me what the Recreation Society at Frostburg is.
So the Rec Society, and I think it's still going pretty strong. The Rec Society was a group, almost like a student club that we had created while we were there. And it was just students that were either within a Parks and Rec major or students just on campus that were really involved in Parks and Recreation, or just like to be active and doing kind of sports and recreation and leisure. So we met as a group just about once a month, and we planned different types of on-campus activities that could be offered to all students on campus to get them, you know, socially involved and participating and active with one another. So like two of the events that we held, one was a rock wall event. And so we did like a big event in their Quartz PE building. And then the second one that we did was actually an on-campus volleyball tournament. And so we had students from across campus. It didn't, again, matter if they were a rec major or not, could sign up teams. And we did a whole tier system of a whole volleyball tournament.
Very, very exciting.
Yeah.
I'm jumping ahead now, but later on you decided to go for your master's.
I did, yes.
And did you you return to Frostburg for that?
I did. I after I graduated with my undergraduate degree, I kept going back and forth thinking, like, what do I want to do with a master's and what field would I go into? And I actually really wanted, well, I should say a big part of me really wanted to go into therapeutic recreation as a master's. And Clemson University has a really big, you know, TR program for master's. Right. But then I was like, I don't want to just do TR because then I'm only undergraduate TR and master's TR. So I kind of went back and forth with it. And just in general, life happened, right? I got married. I have two kids. So it kind of pushed everything off. But I was very determined to get my master's. And so I went back and I looked at some online programs to kind of fit my work-life schedule. And Frostburg had a really, really great online program geared towards, so my degree is recreation, parks, and sports management. So it took about, I want to say, 2 years total to do it. And it was all online. Again, the class sizes were much smaller, but it, you know, allowed for a lot of team collaboration within our cohorts and that kind of thing. So it just, it was a really, really great experience.
Tell my listeners exactly what therapeutic recreation is.
Sure. So therapeutic recreation in general is the process of using recreation or activity interventions to help individuals that have any type of illness or disability and help them through recovery and well-being. So the purpose of offering any kind of therapeutic recreation, whether it's clinical or community-based, would be to help either improve or maintain someone's physical, cognitive, social, or emotional functioning in order for them to fully participate in life. So for them to really live their best life. So a rec therapist would, you know, assess the needs of any individual that's doing any type of program, or again, if you're clinical, if you're doing any type of therapy with them, and they would make sure that they could provide any type of adaptations or anything that would be needed for the person to be as successful as possible and as independent as possible.
Do you know how many certified recreation therapists there may be in Maryland?
Yes. So through NCTRC, which is the National Council of Therapeutic Recreation Professionals, we have 270 certified rec therapists in the state of Maryland.
And all of them, well, I guess most of them don't just work at rec departments.
They do not. Yeah, there's many options throughout the state of Maryland for recreation therapy or therapeutic recreation. These positions can be at nursing homes. They could be at rehabilitation centers. They could be at hospitals. Some of them can be strictly adapted sports. So there's an organization called BARS. It's Baltimore Adapted Recreation and Sports. So there's a lot of different options throughout the state of Maryland outside of your parks and recreation departments throughout the state as well.
Why do you think several or many rec departments in the state of Maryland don't actually have that as a just a normal program like a basketball league?
Yeah, I think some of it is more so just lack of education of what our profession is. There's a lot of room for growth and knowledge within a lot of the different departments that don't currently offer therapeutic recreation. And those that do, I'm sure that there's still very many opportunities for them to grow. There's always evolving modalities and programming and, you know, ways to lead therapeutic rec programming throughout the county. That's like throughout any county that's continually changing and growing. So I think in general, it's just more lack of knowledge of that we're here and we specialize in this and we went to school for it. And, you know, we could really make a difference within your communities.
Always that opportunity.
Yes. Yes.
So did you, you know, after you received your, you know, your Bachelor of Science from Frostburg, did you start working in therapeutic?
I did. Yeah. So I graduated in December of 2006. And I believe it was February of 2007. I started my first position with the League for People with Disabilities. And I absolutely loved working there. I worked in their adult medical day program in the morning. And then I assisted with their program for children with autism in the afternoon. So it was kind of two different populations, two different times a day. But it was so very rewarding.
What was that located in Baltimore?
Yes, that is. That's located down in Baltimore City.
And then you moved on to a position in a nearby hospital.
I did, yes. So after I worked at the League for about a year, I actually moved more into a clinical setting. When I went to school at Frostburg for my undergraduate, we learned a lot about goals and objectives and taking notes and all that kind of stuff. But it was very clinical focused at the time. So I just really, I really found that interesting and I really wanted to move into a clinical role. So I ended up going to Levendale, which is part of Sinai Hospital. And so, or LifeBridge, I guess, Health. And so I worked on an 80-bed ventilator unit. Wow. And so all of my patients were on ventilators. It was the first time that I worked. Yeah, it was the first time that I worked with the pulmonary population. And I absolutely fell in love with it. It was, again, a very, very rewarding position. We were able to get people up and moving. I would say 90% of them were able to return to normal life functioning without a ventilator, which was, again, just a very rewarding experience to see them go through the process of being on it and getting taken off of it.
Wow. What a wonderful experience for you.
Yes, yes. And again, Levendale was also like very team oriented. So I think at Levendale alone, we had about 9 rec therapists there. So we worked as a really great team. We each had our own unit at the hospital and in long-term care. But we were able to really work together in providing the services that we needed to make sure that the patients were getting the needs that they had met and that they were able to become more independent relating to recreation and leisure.
And then after nearly 3 years, you moved on to the University of Maryland Medical Center.
Say that again?
After almost 3 years, next you moved on to the University of Maryland Medical Center?
I did, yeah. So they had a small rehab hospital called University Specialty Hospital, and they also had a very progressive pulmonary unit. So they got a lot of patients from the University of Maryland Medical Center that would come that had lung transplants and that kind of thing. And like I said, that population itself was very I just absolutely loved working with the pulmonary population. So I ended up moving there, and I was pretty much the primary therapist on their pulmonary units. And then from there, I was actually asked to run a pilot program on their child psych unit, which was at the main University of Maryland campus.
Wow.
So, yeah, so we did that. So, again, that was like a total switch in populations that I was currently working in. But that was just so unique in itself. They had never had recreational therapy in the past. They primarily relied on occupational therapy. And in occupational therapy schooling, they do touch base on recreation and leisure needs. So the therapist that was there currently was doing a lot of rec therapy. So they were like, oh, we want to just trial this and see how it works. So I kind of developed different types of paperwork and plans and, you know, the scheduling and what it would kind of look like. The kids that came to that program had a very busy day. Even though that they were in the hospital, they still received schooling each day. So it did take up a large portion of their day. But I did have the opportunity to work with the kids. We would go upstairs to a gym and we would do a lot of team building sport activities that I would develop and have them kind of do to work on coping skills, socialization skills, teamwork, team building. And then we also did a family game night where we would have their families come in and then we would work with the families and how they can, you know, play games with their kids and how do they communicate. And, you know, if something goes wrong, how do you navigate through that?
Wow. In just a short period of time, you have had a lot of experiences with therapeutic recreation.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
And then you moved on to the Maryland for the Blind.
I did. So then I went to the Maryland School for the Blind. I was their recreation coordinator there. Again, that was another population that I didn't have as much exposure to prior, but I had an awesome team there. I had about two full-time staff that reported directly to me, and then we had a couple indirect staff that ran our pool area, and just that whole experience there was just amazing. We were able to do a lot of the afternoon activities with the kids, so anything from 3 o'clock on, we were able to provide different types of recreational programming for them. The kids did get very involved with goal ball during school, which is a sport for individuals that are visually impaired or blind. And so that was just an interesting sport in general to learn. We started a walking club. We had, you know, an outdoor sports court that they participated in. Then again, the pool. And so just in general, that was like the kids just had so much fun. I learned so much from working there and working with them. We actually had my first year working there, I was contacted by the Department of State. And I honestly thought when they first called me, I was like, this is not real. Like, this has to be a scam. But the person knew everything about me. And it was like the scariest thing. And I'm like, how does this person know so much about me? So they actually contacted me because when I worked at University of Maryland, I had a lot of experience and exposure with adapted sports. So wheelchair rugby and wheelchair basketball and that kind of thing from the team that I worked with there. And so they wanted to come out. They had a group called Sports United, and it was a group of professionals throughout the world that would gather together and come to different places to talk with other professionals that provided adapted sports and see what their programming looked like. So they actually came out twice. The first time they came out, it was a group of professionals just from Brazil. And they all came out and talked about all the adapted sports that they did. They saw all of our facilities. And, you know, I think when they came, we had them actually try goal ball, which was really cool. So they were actually able to kind of see how we play and what we do here. They were able to meet a lot of the students and then, again, talk to a lot of the other professionals that we had that worked there at the Maryland School for the Blind and what they do relating to sports. The second group that came out was able to also see a swim meet, and they were from all over the world, which was really unique and definitely an experience.
What an experience for you.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then I guess you decided to move to Harford County.
I did. We moved up here to Harford County, and we absolutely love it. I did not want to leave my position at the Maryland School for the Blind, but at the time I was working evenings and nights, so it was a little bit hard with a growing family. So from there, I ended up moving on to Harford County Parks and Recreation, where they had a position open for therapeutic recreation. And that was a very rewarding experience in that I had a lot of opportunity to expand on the offerings that they had. I was able to create new programming and reach populations that were not being met at the time. We were able just to do a whole lot of things that were really new for the county and really bring awareness and education to the county about what therapeutic recreation is.
Wow. I know that had to be exciting for you to bring some new things to Harford County.
Yes. Yes. It was very nice.
Tell me about the, I saw that they had a, Harford County had their first baseball field for children with disabilities.
Yes, they recently built a Miracle League. I was not as much involved in the process of it being built.
Right.
But there was a donor that really spearheaded the whole entire project, and he reached out to the community and really got a lot of fundraising in place and donations for the field to happen. I do know that they actively play on it every single weekend. I believe Saturdays at 10:30, they have games. So I know a lot of kids that go out and play baseball, which is just a wonderful experience for them, and it really gives them an opportunity to remain active and engaged in the community.
And I know they loved it, making them feel like they're a child that can
participate
in sports too. You've been involved with therapeutic internship supervision for a while, correct?
I have, yeah. So for a few years now, Frostburg State had reached back out to me when I was actually still working at the Maryland School for the Blind, and they asked if I would be a therapeutic rec intern supervisor, which really was that I was kind of that point person for the school while the person was at their internship. So if their internship site had any questions, they could reach out to me. If the student had any questions, I kind of collaborated with them. And then I also did like halfway point like meetings where I would go and I would visit them at their site, make sure everything was kind of going in line with the NCTRC guidelines and that kind of thing.
You recently became the new director of day services at Richcroft Incorporated. How are you adjusting to that position?
It has been an amazing experience. I started with Richcroft in January. Day services is a brand new program for them, for this organization. So this has just been truly like, I can't even describe, like, this is my dream position at this point. When I did my master's degree, my entire final project was a business plan in creating a day services program to be able to, you know, work with individuals with disabilities in the county that can participate in pay-to-play activities and that kind of thing and be more active in their communities. And so when this opportunity came up, it was one that I really could not pass up. It's given me the opportunity to expand on services that we currently offer, which is community development services. So we pick individuals up from their homes. We take them out into their local community all day and engage in different types of recreation, leisure, and whatever they are interested in doing. And then we bring them home in the evening. So it's pretty much like around a six-hour day for them. And then we're looking at the possibility of possibly seeing if a day habilitation would be beneficial for our programming.
Now, is Richcroft, is it located in Harford County?
Yes. So we are actually located in four counties. So Richcroft serves adults with disabilities in Harford County, Howard County, Baltimore County, and Carroll County. We offer residential services. We have shared living. We have personal supports. So there's a lot of different services that Richcroft offers, and now day services will be in addition to all of those.
It must be rewarding.
It is. It's very rewarding. And again, it's also, like for me, it's really great because I, even though that I've had multiple positions in the past, I've also been able to network. So now in the position that I'm in, I'm able to really collaborate with all of the people that I've met over the many years in order to really formulate great programming and activities for these individuals to participate in.
Tell my listeners a little bit about when Therapeutic Recreation Month is.
So it used to be every year in July,
And then it recently, well, I say recently, I guess it's been a few years, it changed to February. So in the month of February, therapeutic recreation professionals really celebrate who we are and what we do and the importance of having therapeutic rec in your lives. So ATRA, which is the American Therapeutic Recreation Association, puts out a lot of information about Therapeutic Recreation Month, but it really is a month that we try to really just put it out there to the world. Social media will blow up, people will start talking about stuff, flyers get put out, and it's just all about what therapeutic rec is, what are the benefits of therapeutic recreation, and how can you be more actively involved.
Tell my listeners what MRPA stands for, because I know you've been involved in MRPA for a while.
Many years, yeah. So MRPA is the Maryland Recreation Parks Association. And so that is the state organization for recreation and parks professionals. And they do have a TR branch that does have some therapeutic rec individuals that are part of it. But MRPA just in general is a wonderful organization that supports everyone in the state of Maryland that are within a recreation and parks profession. So again, I think, you know, they're heavily, I guess, infiltrated, I should say, I guess, in like local community parks and rec. But for me, even when I was clinical, I was still very involved with MRPA. So it's not just community parks and rec. It's really anyone that's serving individuals through a recreation or parks profession.
I served as a chair for a couple committees there. I was kind of involved. Are you serving as a chair in any position?
So in the past, I was the chair of the TR branch for, it was a 3-year term. So you're like the vice president, president, and past president. So you served 3 years, which was a great experience. Again, I did that very early on when I graduated from school. So I was able to meet a lot of people. Currently, I am on the board for continuing education and approving continuing education units. So if anybody is looking at putting on a workshop or any type of conference or any type of educational session, they would submit all of their stuff to us and we would go ahead and we would review it and make sure that all the paperwork is correct prior to granting them the CEUs. But just in general, I think MRPA has just been so supportive. Even, I want to say, when I worked at University of Maryland, Kernan Hospital, I actually presented at MRPA. And I was a rehab therapist at the time, and I presented about how to use an iPad as a treatment tool. And so that was just really great in general, because even though I was presenting it from a clinical standpoint, anyone from any type of local parks and rec programming could absolutely benefit from it, because they could learn all of the things that we use to help teach individuals to be independent when they leave the hospital. And so then these local parks and rec agencies could also carry that on.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. Rachel, tell me how sports and or therapeutic recreation has impacted your life.
I feel like I live it every day. My main goal for anybody that I meet is for them to be as active as possible. For their health and for their wellness, it's not going to be the best choice for them just to sit at home or indoors. So I want them to be able to get out and be active and participating in their local communities and being part of society. So I feel like I instill a lot of those values even onto my own family, into my kids. Anytime we can go to festivals, we do that. Anytime I can participate in any kind of work events and have my family involved, they, you know, tag along and help me out. But I think just bringing awareness to communities is really key in therapeutic recreation and the benefits of it.
What effect do you think you might have had on some of your participants?
I think that I've definitely made a difference in their leisure choices, especially those that I met when I worked at University of Maryland that were going through any type of life change. So I worked with individuals that had spinal cord injuries, individuals that had brain injuries, and then again the pulmonary population. And some of those injuries had occurred from poor choices. So I think just being able to educate people in general about healthy leisure choices and being able to return to life, even if it's different, how do you adapt something and how are you able to still do it independently and be successful? I think those moments have really made a difference.
I'm not sure if you've already answered this question, but I'm gonna ask you anyway.
Okay.
What would you say you like most about therapeutic recreation?
I think what I like most about it is not only meeting all the individuals that I work with, but really connecting with their families. There are thousands of people that I've worked with over the years of me being a certified rec therapist, and I have a pretty good memory of their names and who their families are. And some of their families I still keep in touch with today. So I just think in general, being able to really meet someone and know that I'm making a difference in their life, but making a difference in their full life with their family as well, has really been meaningful to me.
Well, I know you have kids, so I'm going to ask you this question too.
Mm-hmm.
What would you tell kids about following their dreams?
Oh my gosh. Don't think twice. Don't ever stop. I think it's so important for kids to be able to follow their dreams. And even if for an adult to think that it might be unrealistic at the time for whatever a child might be saying they want to do, I think that could, morph into something great. And so I think that every child that has a dream should absolutely follow their dreams and aspirations.
I know you've been around a lot of recreation and sports activities. So I'm a big proponent of good sportsmanship in youth sports.
Yes.
What role would you say good sportsmanship plays in youth sports?
It's definitely like the main component of youth sports when we look at sports. So like when I look at sports for my kids to participate in, I really am looking at, who is the coach going to be, what kind of values they have, and what is the main goal and purpose of the league that we're signing them up for, and are they going to get a good experience? I know there was a big shift when it came to, participation trophies, and everybody should have participation trophies.
Right.
I don't know that I have the best opinion on that. because when I grew up, that wasn't the case. And, you played, and if you lost, it was okay. And I think that's a big part of youth today, is that parents need to be able to let kids know it's okay if you don't win. But good sportsmanship should always be practiced. And so even if you're not winning, you're telling others, great job. And I think that also makes them mold into a really great human being.
Perfect answer. Rachel, do you have any hobbies? You're so busy, but I'm going to ask you, do you have any hobbies?
Oh my gosh,
are you a golfer?
Do I ever? My family and I, we love to go camping.
Oh.
So every year we do try to make it down to Assateague Island. We camp on the beach, which is just a great family experience for us. It is very isolated in the sense that there's like no electronics, right? There's no Wi-Fi out there. It's just wonderful. I would say camping is a big thing for us. We do like to try to get away over the summer and go camping. I love to travel. I do love to go to the beach, but I love to travel in general. And then for me, I really love crafting, like doing arts and crafts and stuff. So I'm always making things, trying to do stuff for my kids for school and that kind of thing. I love birds. So I love to do like bird watching. I live in Harford, I live in Bel Air. So it's kind of central to Harford County. But I do drive up to Conowingo Dam often because they have a huge population of bald eagles. So I go up there to see the eagles a lot. So, but yes, we do keep ourselves busy.
Yeah, sounds like it.
Tonight we're actually going to the Aberdeen Ironbirds game. We are season ticket holders for the Aberdeen Ironbirds, which is the minor league team.
Yes, yes. Yep.
Yeah, so I tell my girls every year, I'm like, we're going to get tickets. So we get season tickets to it to go. Because, again, I just think it's really important for them to get out, for them to experience sports as well.
Yes. Rich, is there anything else you'd like to add?
I don't think so.
Well, on that note, I guess I bring our podcast to an end. Give my sponsor another little plug here, Rachel.
Sure.
The 108th episode of the Hondo Handies podcast has been brought to you by Ed Hyman Drywall and Custom Painting, including residential and commercial power washing. Located at 36722 Roxana Road in Somerville, Delaware. Call 302-436-6277 or find him on the web at edhymandrywall.com. My guest today has been Rachel Kolasch, the new director of day services at Richcroft, Inc. Rachel, remember, if you think you can, you can. Thank you. Stay safe and keep smiling.
Thank you, Hondo.
Thanks. Pleasure to have you on.
Yep.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.